Please be seated.
Peace of Christ in the reign of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When you visit the holy city Rome, and you visit St. Peter's Basilica, the Vatican, and underneath in the crypt, they are the tombs of the popes. And when you come to Pope Pius XI's tomb, in very bold letters, it says, Pax Christi in Regno Christi, which means peace of Christ in the reign of Christ. And it was Pius XI who gave us today's feast, the Feast of Christ the King, which was instituted by Pius XI in 1925. And you can see from the inscriptions or from the letters on his tombstone, which he certainly chose by himself, that this was the theme of his reign, the kingship of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pius XI died shortly before the outbreak of World War II. And Pius XI understood well that the enemies of the church had in mind to destroy the church, to destroy Christian civilization. He understood this well when he instituted this feast of Christ the King. Since the 18th century, and especially since the French Revolution, there has been a concerted program among the enemies of the church to do two things. First, to reduce Christian civilization, Christian nations, basically to ashes. And secondly, to replace it with a humanistic civilization, which will eventually develop what is called today the one world government, what will develop into a world state, if you want. And the promoters of this activity have been liberal Jews and Freemasons. And this has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with conspiracy. These are just the facts of history. And when we talk about liberal Jews, because it's not the Jew who observed the law of Moses in most cases, but rather those Jews who themselves apostatized from their own religion and formed a new religion, so to speak, which has the form of humanism. And World War I marked the first great step towards this goal. At the peace conference at Versailles in France in 1919, the victorious powers at that time, who were the liberals and who are the Freemasons, and where one find an extraordinary high number of Jews. And they put together in 1919 what they considered an ideal world. A plan that would last for years, they thought, and a plan that would eventually lead into the world state or the one world government. And in the process, they destroyed all of the governments in which religion played a significant role. The enemies understood very well that if they want to destroy the church, destroy the altar of God, they must first destroy the throne, the monarchies, in order to destroy the altars and the church. They wanted to get rid of the monarchies, and they wanted to get rid of religion in a public way in society. And so first, Russia had already fallen in 1917 to Bolshevism. And that was a country in which religion, in a sense, had the greatest role, although it was unfortunately the schismatic Orthodox Church. Nonetheless, it was a country in which the Tsar was professingly religious. And he was a monarch. And so that country, of course, had to go or be transformed. And they replaced it with Bolshevism, which was almost entirely under the inspiration and direction of the Jews. And if you look carefully, who organized the Bolshevik state and revolution in 1917 in Russia, 95% were Jews. And that is just simply history. So they already dispensed with Russia. Now they had to dispense, of course, with Germany and Austria-Hungary. Germany was at that time that country that was monarchical as well. It was run by the Kaiser, and the Kaiser, although he was a Protestant, nonetheless was very, very anti-socialistic, and also kept his court morally clean, that means free of scandals. He had to go too. And they had to get rid of Austria-Hungary, of course, the arch-Catholic country, if you want, which was also monarchical and Catholic, as I said. Italy and France and Spain had been already corrupted in the 19th century, secularized by Freemasonic governments. So they planned together to make this beautiful world, naturalistic world, without the Savior and King Jesus Christ, without any reverence of our Lord and King Jesus Christ. And look today at this beautiful world, without the Savior. What does it matter what Jesus Christ said in politics today, in public life, in culture? Absolutely nothing. Look at this beautiful world without the Savior since 1919. As a consequence, World War II broke out, in which 50 million people perished as a direct result of the war. The outbreak of communism, which is far from dead, communism which spread its arrows through many countries all over the world, as our Blessed Lady at Fatima herself said. And even today, if you go at the university, you will hear these wrong ideas, these wrong liberal ideas, particularly in philosophy. than the many, many smaller wars of the 20th century, which brought untold sufferings and death of millions of people. And this is the beautiful world, if you want, without Christ the King. Then the other breakdown of family life of the past 70 years, in particular through divorce. What is divorce today in the public eye? Right. It's almost normal if somebody gets married today, if they say, it's my third marriage. Then the crime of abortion and birth control. Do you know that practically the entire world is on birth control? And in the violent crimes and senseless murders that we see in our own times, things which you could not imagine 50 years ago, that teenagers, for example, shot each other. This is the beautiful world which he created, humanistic, naturalistic world, without the Savior, without his kingship, trying to make a paradise without the Savior. And what is this paradise? A red paradise. A paradise of blood. And look, for example, at the economic disorder of our times. I don't even need to tell you. You know it by yourselves. And look at the church. How the church dethroned our Lord at those erroneous documents at Vatican II, religious liberty. This is the world without the Savior. And this is why today's feast was instituted. It came in modern times, instituted in 1925, not in the Middle Ages when there were kings. It came in response to all the dethronement of our Lord and King, Jesus Christ. Christ the King, and we pray to our Savior that he saves us and protects us from all the awful effects of the rejection of his reign. And how helpless we feel in these times. And we go on our knees and pray to our Savior to help us, to protect us. Sometimes we think there's nothing we can do to help ourselves in this anti-Christian atmosphere and situation. And we pray to our Lord and King, Lord, help us, we perish. But we cannot pray to him sincerely for this protection if we willingly place our hands in the fire, so to speak, of the modern world. We shall surely be burned if we place our hands there. We cannot do everything. We cannot go to every place where we want to go if we want to retain that we are true fervent Christian, that we are followers of Christ the King. Sometimes we must say, and we must say to our children, we cannot go to certain places, we cannot watch certain movies, and so forth. A certain doesn't mean everything is bad, but a certain separation from the world has to take place. Let us hear today the message that we have to separate ourselves sometimes from this modern world. We must be convinced that in principle this modern world is contrary to the reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we must separate ourselves. We must protect ourselves and our children, so that at least in your heart and in your home and in your church, you might find what is written on the tombstone of Pius XI, you might find the peace of Christ in the reign of Christ. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.